I had never been out of the country before, and this trip to Greece marked my first bout of intercontinental travel. After a tumultuous 14-hour layover in Amsterdam, we arrived in Athens, which looks suspiciously like New York. A hustle and bustle city where I felt as if I was always in the way of someone on their way somewhere. Not a pleasant feeling. The beauty of Greece didn't dawn on me until our foray into the countryside. Our first stop was the beachside town of Tolo, abandoned and desolate due to the low amount of tourists. Interspersed between gift shops and vacant hotels, unfinished garages and tarnished storefronts were the last few residents of the sleepy place. I expected tumbleweeds. Instead, I saw waves crashing on the beach shore. A fine trade. Though we rarely saw a local anywhere, we had a nice walk down to the dock to get an amazing view of the ocean. After a truly restful night of sleep in our minuscule hotel rooms, we departed for higher places. We began our ascent in Greece to New Delphi, just 5 minutes away from the ruins of Old Delphi. On our way up, we were witness to the rolling procession of all things natural and far removed from man, mountain ranges like fallen idols once worshipped. Our mountainside hotel peered out into a gorge, the mountains sloping like earthen slides to scattered providences of light. When the clouds disappeared, there was Orion and the crescent moon. In that perfect silence for a minute, I thought maybe man wasn't meant to be here. A red shingled house just next to us, a garden below, dropped to a gorge cloaked in night like coal mines. Light seemed alien that night. Everything became clear when we took an 8-hour ferry ride to the island of Santorini, a volcanic crater. I had never seen any pictures of the place, nor had I read about it. It arose on the horizon as a massive stone sarcophagus on the curvature of the earth, with dotted on its razorous peaks modest white residences with living roofs, residential houses indiscernible from the last few restaurants. From the highest point on the island looking down to the ocean, the waves looked like whips of ink advancing down a sheet of lapis lazuli. I started to think, what had I ever done to deserve something like this? I've never done anything valiant or heroic, evil or unjust. I simply have done nothing to deserve this. There's a kid somewhere whose dream it's been to go to Greece. He's worked towards it, helped others, made his money without saying his piece, and he's not here, but I am. Now why is that? I was lucky enough to have a summer job that gave me the money to take this trip, but money is only paper given to people with the power to organize. Everything was and has been done for me, and I've offered nothing in return, but still I'm lucky enough to stand witness to something greater than myself. I understand why some people believe in God now. Divinity seems to be a perfectly sound explanation for something that occurred with absolutely no human influence or intervention. Coming to this painful realization led me to also feel like a failure in a foreign land. David Foster Wallace, author of Infinite Jest and A Supposedly Fun Thing, explains.
It's very difficult and it's very, in many ways, humiliating to be in a country that isn't mine and to be reduced really to the status of a baby. People all around me are talking with great animation about things that I do. It's not like I don't totally understand. I don't understand at all.
Being able to speak none of the language and understanding nothing is the de-evolution to infantile status. It hurts to be here no matter the beauty. I'm thankful for everything I witnessed, and I hope one day to go back when I'm more deserving of the opportunity. For the Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Jacob Holly Klein.